Sellers and Makers podcast brings the community to you. We talk to small business owners about work, life, and everything in between. Subscribe to Sellers and Makers podcast so you never miss an episode. Hi, and welcome to Sellers and Makers podcast, a place artisans can come together in community. Brought to you by Everything Embroidery Market. I'm your host, Hope Dale, and
I'm Christina, and today we have the pleasure of speaking with Jay and Tanya with TJ Stitch. Thank you guys so much for coming and chatting with us today. We're so happy to have you.
No problem. Yes,
so you guys have been a vendor with us in, our EEM shows in the past, and then you guys are going to be a vendor with us in Lafayette. So just a quick announcement for that. Our next Everything Embroidery Market is going to be in Lafayette, Louisiana, March 3rd through 5th. We will have a vendor floor open for you guys to shop, as well as lots and lots of classes, 50 plus classes for you guys to learn and engage and just grow in general. So that will be going on at the same time as our vendor floor. So if by the time this goes live, registration will be open on the website and you guys can check out that full lineup of vendors and classes over at eemshows.com. So make sure you check that out. But in the meantime, let's jump in and talk to you guys. TJ Stitch. Okay, what is TJ Stitch? What do you guys do?
Well, T for Tanya, J for Jay. And TJ Stitch, we are the exclusive U.S. distributor for Helos Iris embroidery threads and also some craft threads and stuff like that as well, marrowing floss. We started in March of this year. Enmart used to be the company that was the distributor for them. And Enmart closed down and walked away. And so there wasn't any place for embroidery shops like us that could get that thread. There wasn't anybody else that was a distributor, and I made a couple phone calls, and one thing led to another, and I signed us up to be a distributor. I'm sure Tanya was pleased when I told her, but we had to find a way to get that thread, not for just ourselves, but we knew there was a strong customer base out there that would want to have a place to continue to order that. So we've been building it from the ground up since March. And yesterday we just had probably our fourth or fifth big stocking inventory come in. So that was good. We spent the better part of the afternoon getting things sorted and laid out, and we've got more to come. So
yes, I love that. So first, you make it sound so easy. Yeah. I just made a phone call and poof, a whole new business. I know there was more work involved than that. I know for sure.
Well, I mean, even as a child, I was always an entrepreneur trying to figure out a way to make a buck or to, a way to do something. And probably I would say a vast majority of the time, my parents shot me down and said, no, you're not doing that. But I was the paper boy in town, and I was the kid that this probably predates both of you, but they used to have a company had a program where you could go out and you could sell greeting cards, and it could be everything from get well cards to happy birthday cards to an assortment of the cards and things like that. And then you made so much money, and you could choose from their list of prizes that you could get. So I think I got a raft with a couple of oars and a bicycle out of the deal over the years. So it does come natural to me a little bit, just because I'll take the time to research the components that we're going to need. And fortunately with Helos Iris, all the threads coming from them. So I don't have to find anybody else to get the thread, but I do have to find somebody else to get the bobbins, and I have to find somebody else to get backings and toppings and blank patches and things like that. So some of that still is a work in progress, me trying to find the right partner to go, to line up with on that, so that we can expand our distribution beyond just thread.
Yeah, but I mean, this is just since March. Like,
it's October. Well, like this started a lot.
Is I found out when I was out of town that Edmart was closing, and I'm like, oh my gosh, that's the only thread we use. It's the only thread our machines like really like and has ever been run on our machines. So I called him and I'm like, have you heard this? And he's like, no. So the next phone call I get is, oh, we're the national distributors. And it's not a football team. So, okay, we're good.
Well, you got to do what you got to do. I mean,
Well, and that speaks, it speaks on to the quality that you guys believe, right? Like you, you thought so highly of this thread where you're like, I can't let this go. Like, I love this stuff. And I do think, actually, I know from everyone that I've talked to, when you find a thread that you like, you will go wherever you need to go to get that thread.
Yep.
Because your machine likes it. You love the way it stitches. And there is a difference between one brand or another. And it makes
and your machines
and your machines. Some machines like different threads. So
and the, you know, our thread, the Iris thread, has been around for 60 years. So it's not like it's the new kid on the block. The thing is that it's that it is produced in Mexico. I can't speak to where the other competitors are produced because I haven't taken the time to care enough to know where they're produced. But you have Isochord, you have Madeira, you have Robeson Anton. And I'm just going to use those three because that's the first three that come to my head. I consider them the big brothers in the business. I mean, they've been around for quite some time, but they have a huge market share. And what we're trying to do in conjunction with corporate Helosiris is we're trying to at least get the Iris thread into that group. We want to be the fourth child or whatever, the fourth step in that, and then just continue to find ways to continue to promote the business. I the lion's share of the customer market that I believe Edmart had for this thread was in the upper Midwest. So Minnesota, South the Dakotas, Iowa, and then going east. So Illinois and Indiana and Ohio and Michigan. And that was probably their core region. And then I believe the East Coast was also very popular for them because we get a lot of orders through our website for New York and New Jersey and things like that, which is always cool because I don't know a single person in New York, but
it's always your friend goes there.
Yeah.
What's that?
I said, but you're shipping there, and that's
cool. And we're shipping there. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So.
So yeah, it's, y'all are trying to grow into the southern states. Yes. And so
we are the exclusive distributor for the entire United States. So nobody else can sell our thread. People can resell our thread, but nobody can wholesale price it to companies and things like that. So, you know, we have both wholesale and retail pricing. And right now we're just trying to pick those the trade shows like EEM that are affordable when we're not making peanuts yet for us to be able to go and start to establish. And, you know, we've only done two so far. We did one in Texas. We did your guys's in South Carolina. And what we've seen after both shows is a spike in the online sales, which is exactly what we want to see. Right. Trust me, I'd love to sell out of all of the thread that we bring to the trade show, but I'm satisfied with at least seeing a spike in the online sales. And so, you know, as long as we can continue to afford to do the trade shows, then that's what we do. I want to specify to any of the viewers, I'm not saying that EEM is a cheap trade show. No. What I'm saying though is EEM is an affordable trade show when you have a product that you're maybe trying to introduce to the market. Or maybe you're a company that's just satisfied doing what you do in business a year, and you don't necessarily want to expand 20-fold. You maybe only want to expand 2 or 3-fold. So EEM is a perfect show for us, and we're just excited to be with you guys again.
So. Yes, Well, we're excited to have you, and I loved your displays. You had the yeah. light up displays.
All the lights.
It's so pretty, and the rainbow.
It was really funny because a lot of people thought that it was like beverages or like. Oh, really?
I could out see bread. That, like, especially from further away, if you couldn't like tell exactly.
Yeah.
It could look like that.
Yeah, there was a number of people who walked by, and they're like, "Oh, that's." Thread. I thought it was adult beverages. And I'm like, hey, you know what? If the adult beverages are selling here, I'll bring yeah. them in. I mean, that's what we got to do.
So. That's awesome. No, I mean, I definitely agree with you with my blanks company. That's actually why we purchased the show, because I feel like it helped us introduce our brand, our product, who we are, to the industry. And while we may not have done as much sale, I mean, everyone wants to sell out. You want to go in with the full booth and leave with an empty one. But the sales afterwards, the wholesale sales, that then is a continual thing. I mean, our very biggest customer, we met at a show, at one of these shows. And I actually, the like top three we met at these shows, and their business has continued to grow, and they've stuck with us over the years. And I just feel, but from both sides, from the attendee side, I feel like you come to these shows, you invest in yourself, you invest in your business, you walk away better for it. You're able to learn something, grow, maybe pivot your business, start a business, or just your hobby, you're better at it. It's more fun because you're not making as many mistakes. So you grow from the attendee side, but also the business side is near to my heart, because like I said, I know for a fact the other side would not be where it's at had we not done these. And they're a lot of work, let's be honest, you know, they're a lot of work, but it's fun and rewarding to see, you know, the trends and how it plays out over the years.
Well, so. And it's, you know, from the attendee side, I mean, we were the attendees for 17 of the last 19 years. I mean, we were going to shows as an attendee. We weren't going to a lot of different shows, mm-hmm. but we were going to the same shows that were in our region.
Right.
Almost every year. Sometimes we would shut down the whole store and take all the staff, and which they really liked that one year when it was at a casino, because I gave them each $40 to spend at the casino, and I think the guy behind me spent 20 and won like 200. So he had a pretty good day at the casino. But as vendors, it is a little bit of a different bear, because obviously, like you said, you're going there hoping that you can bring all this stuff and sell it all and go home empty. But the realization of it is that you're not going to do that. And what you need to do is just put on your best show so that the customers feel comfortable with you. And then if it's an item that they are looking for, then they'll stick around to hear what you have to say and either make a purchase, or they'll at least take the information with them to, you know, actually review it and research it when they get home. So,
right. Well, and those best customers that I'm telling you at the shows that we met them, I mean, they weren't all at the same ones, but at the ones that we met them, they may have walked away with $50 or $100 worth of product. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in that singular day, that's not necessarily a win. You're not like, ooh, I mean, every sale's amazing, right? That's not what I'm saying. But you weren't like, dang, that was a big sale. But over the years, you're like,
that one paid off.
You know? So you have to look at the long haul.
You have to play the long game. Yeah, right. you have to play the long game. If you play the short game, you're going to lose every time. But if you play the long game and then you continue to try to cultivate those customers, then that's going to be good. I did get, just while we're, it popped in my head, I did get an email just last week from the gal who won our
yes,
our prize at your guys' show. And she was, it was, again, just made me feel good as to what we're doing. She's like, I was so excited. And I didn't know, I have no idea what I'm going to buy, but I'm so excited. just, you got a whole year to buy. Take yeah. your time. Yes. Just go through the website, pick out the things that you want, and we'll ship it to you. So
yeah, so she won. It was like $500 worth of thread, right?
Yeah, it was a $500 gift certificate.
Yeah, and that's amazing. Yeah. It's like feeding someone's thread addiction. How do you pick?
What were you gonna say?
The other benefit of the shows for me is the conversations and the networking. And building those relationships. I'm a firm believer in collaboration and being able to have the know, like, and trust factor going in. And so I'm willing to share, you know, my resources. You know, I'm with TJ Stitch, but I also bring my digital designs to our booth as well. And that's just a nice crossover because then, you know, they're like, well, I don't know where to get XYZ. I'm like, well, here's who I go through. Here's who I've heard that are good. You know, we have this whole group that we can bounce each things off of. And it's just, I think that made people feel really comfortable as well, especially because the last show was our first show with you guys. Had a lot of people that were new to the industry that were just kind of like deer in headlights. I don't know what to do.
That show was the most beginner show is what I kept hearing. There was a lot of people that were just starting and all of that. So and really as a vendor, I think it put vendors in a great spot because you can get those people from the very beginning and help them throughout their whole process. Absolutely. And having that networking, even networking with other vendors, networking with attendees. Like networking is huge and you're growing that and you're trusting some other people. And then there's all the people you can collaborate with. I mean, it's huge.
I thought that one of the things that was probably most interesting was you had to be prepared to change your pitch on a dime because that person could come to your booth and ask a question that sounded like they have been in the industry for 20 years. And suddenly you realize, oh crap, this person's doesn't even own an embroidery machine. And they're already talking about thread. Yeah. So you have to be prepared literally in a split second to change the direction of that conversation. And I think for a vendor, I mean, we can only speak for ourselves, but for a vendor, I think that's fun because then you're not giving the same old speech all day long and the same old pitch all day long. You have to be prepared to change it up based on, you know, the clientele that are standing in front of you at the time. And obviously, I think a big part of that too, much like your videos that you're doing with this, is that you're getting the opportunity to find out from those attendees what it is that they do and what they're doing. Are they doing embroidery? Are they doing craft? Are they doing, you know, just the variety of different things that are out there, and then finding a way to adapt and fit into their life is the vendor's responsibility.
Yeah. I love that you say that. It's definitely different show to show. Every show, you know, we have our core group that follow us for sure, but then there's different people. When we go, you know, you're not going to have the same people in Lafayette that you have in Myrtle Beach, just because they're far enough away. People, some will travel, but some won't. And so they're the people that are in Myrtle Beach are so excited. Oh, this is local to me. So, and even though they're relatively close, there's things in those areas that are more prominent, right? In Texas, we love the big old monograms, the big bows, you know, mm-hmm. and you start getting into those northern states and they may not feel like the bows are as important.
Actually, we love prominent bows.
I didn't know some of those things about the southern states. until we started, you know, broadening our scope. And then to find out, you know, about the Texas moms that upcoming. Yes. And, you know, things like that. And there's definitely differences from region to region.
Absolutely.
The other thing I was going to say is I think it's important for the vendors to get to know one another and be able to pin, you know, oh, you need to go see this person or that person. There's mm-hmm. enough for everybody out there. And it just makes you look like a better human and things if you can play nice in the sandbox and be willing to share and, you know, refer on to maybe someone who could handle something a little bit better.
100%. I mean, we say this a lot. Yeah. Our niche is small in the grand scheme of things, but there's still room for everyone. Mm-hmm. People are going to buy. If I'm selling the exact same thing as you, people will buy for me for one reason, and they'll buy for you for a whole nother reason. And mm-hmm. like you said, it's good to be a good person. but also, it's way more fun. Like you, for me, I'm much more fulfilled knowing if I can't help you, I helped you find someone that could.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You know, I'm out of my white t-shirt. But Bayou Blanks has it. Run over there, grab it from them, you know? Mm-hmm. And then that customer too is going to trust you more because you took the time to help them find what they needed, even though they didn't find it with you. So they know that you're in there to help them. And next time they may come back and look and say, hey, do you have it now?
Yeah. Right.
Right.
Then you, so, and that leads us to your classes. You guys are teaching classes.
Yes.
Yes.
It's been a long time coming for me. People have asked me to explore the teaching aspect, and I was like, no. But actually, I kind of have COVID to thank for some of that because of everything that happened with going online mm-hmm. and then doing lives and getting more comfortable that way. So I'm pretty excited about it. I need to sit down and just really, you know, go over it and put it together, but I am excited to teach.
Is this your first time like teaching in this type of setting?
Yes.
It's going to be great. You know,
I've taught online, but not like in person.
In person.
Mm-hmm. I'll need somebody to sit in our booth while she's teaching so I can like throw shit at her.
And that's okay. We'll make it work. Okay. We'll make it work. And we're going to need a video of that happening.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I keep things here at my drawer in a drawer at my desk just to throw at people.
We throw things.
When somebody's being a smart aleck.
Yes. Well, we need videos. It's all about the interaction, guys.
Yes.
No, but it's going to be great. I really think it's going to be great because I agree with what you're saying. The getting to know your customer, getting to know your vendors, working together, all that does is raise the tide for everyone. And people need to hear about that. And so I can't wait for that class. And I love that you said that COVID's to blame because you pivoted and you were like, you stepped out of your comfort zone and here we are. And I think going to be amazing.
we keep hearing like when we're talking about it, and that was one of the things that we kind of wanted to touch on this season is how has the last few years affected your business and what good or bad like changes have you made? And I feel like a lot of times people have said COVID made me go online and kind of get more comfortable. Well, and it ended up being a great thing.
I think this is what she's going to say. I think for us, it wasn't even COVID that forced our hand on this. It was January 4th of 2020 when I was in Texas doing a college football event. We were the merchandise provider. And I had just set up the table at the Fort Worth Convention Center. And I had a massive heart attack. And I was alone. Tani didn't come with me to the event. I was down there by myself. And they you know, long story short, they got me to the hospital. I should have died two different times while I was in the hospital. They saved me. Tanya was able to make it down. And then we spent a week long of vacation in the ICU and then eventually drove home. But because of that, that caused us to pivot before COVID. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was January. COVID really tipped off in like mid-March.
Yeah.
And we were already in the stay home and go nowhere mode the way it was. And our staff was doing a great job of running the store. But then, of course, all the businesses were essentially shut down then, unless you were or at least here in Minnesota. I don't know how it was in the rest of the states, but you know, unless you were an essential business to what was going on, you had to close. Well, we have a laser machine, and we had a group approach us that was buying fabric in huge quantities, and they wanted the fabric cut so they could make them into masks. So they had a whole bunch of grandma and grandpas, more grandmas, sitting around with sewing machines that would sew these things together, and then they were donating them. And because of that, we were able to reach out to the powers that be in law enforcement here in our area, and we got the signed approval that would allow us to continue to operate. So when some of our competitors were completely shut down, we were actually able to keep going, even though we weren't selling t-shirts and sweatshirts and things like that to our normal customers, because they weren't even coming out and shopping anyways. We were at least able to stay afloat as a business. And one of the things that I know I take great pride in, I know Tanya does as well, is that the biggest thing was during that entire time, we were able to keep all of our staff on payroll, keep paying them. We didn't have to, we didn't have to lay them off or have them go on unemployment. Some of them have mentioned that they would have made more money on unemployment than they would have during the time they worked with us, but they stuck with it nonetheless. So, that I think for us was more of the COVID turning point than actually COVID itself.
Yeah. Well, and before we got on this live, you were talking about all the different aspects of, or I guess not even aspects, the completely different businesses that you guys have under your roof. And there's a lot. And that, to me, another thing that you've said several times was you pivoted or you changed or you listened to your customer or you saw where there was a need and you weren't afraid to just to try it or at least look into it. And then once you looked into it, you decided, okay, that's for us or that's not for us. Mm-hmm. Of course, I'm sure there's sometimes when you do that and you're like, that's not going to work, but sometimes it does.
And we have had some of those where we've looked at it and we went, it's too late. We already spent money. We're not going to spend more let's not spend the money. And I'll give you a couple of really good examples of that. One was we had looked at one point of bringing in an entire line of maternity clothing. Mm-hmm. We're in a small town, 12,000 people, and there's not a lot of places in town where you can go and get any maternity clothing. Mm-hmm. We had a JCPenney here at one point. They shut down. Walmart, to my knowledge, doesn't carry a whole lot of maternity clothing. And so we had looked into that, and it just didn't work out for us. The numbers for what it was going to cost us to bring in a line was just not going to be feasible. So that was something that we didn't pursue. One that we started to pursue and then we called it quits was, I'm trying to think of it.
507 classifieds?
No, the yard my card. Yard my yard, yeah. And so we had seen that. We were like, well, that's easy enough. We can just get some different color coroplast and cut signs out of it. Well, yeah. I can tell you right now that my shoulder never got started on cutting the letters. And by the time we got started on it, somebody else in town had either branched into town with it or somebody in town started doing it. And so we were just like, so now we have, I don't know, about 500 pieces of coroplast in different colors cut up that we use whatever. So not everything always works.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. But you also won't know what's going to work unless you start that process.
Right.
And another thing you just mentioned, which I think is important, you said with the maternity thing, you looked into it, but the numbers didn't work.
Right.
And you're taking the time to know the numbers, not just the idea. And therefore, I think that puts you ahead of a lot of people, you know, just because you're actually deep diving in. You're not just like,
for me, my parents aren't around. I mean, my mother's still around. My father's passed. But they're not the ones that are over my shoulder chirping at me, this is a terrible idea, or I never hear this is a good idea. I just hear this is a bad, or this is a really bad idea. Tanya, and it comes from Courtney, who works for us. The two of them have a great deal of influence on our decisions.
If we hear, I have an idea,
they usually run.
We're either like, hold. We'll be back with you in a little bit, or bring it and we'll see what you got. That's how we ended up with a football team.
And as much as I'm picking on this guy right here, this guy has a tendency to go along with my ideas. So I do get a little bit of backup support from time to time, or sometimes they're his ideas and I try to take them and run with them.
Hey, I understand the lots of ideas. I'm normally the person that's like, ooh, and we could do this. And we could do this. And maybe if we changed it, it may be better. And then I normally bring those ideas to my sister and she's like, think about that, come back to me. she's not as like, I mean, I guess my sister is like, will tell me no. She has no problem saying no. But
one of the really good ones actually that played a part with the show that we just did with you guys. When we went to Texas, we had clearly no idea what we were doing. I was more on the visual aspect of what our display was going to look like, hoping that we would sell a ton. Sadly, we were told that we were going to do mostly quite well, and we didn't. And but then when we signed up to do your show, because Christina, you were down in you live in Texas, so that was kind of a cheaper drive for you anyways, but you came over and met us, and that's how we found out about your show. And we ended up changing our entire display. And we also dumped a product that when we brought it to Texas, we thought it was going to sell terrific. And that was Stahl's CAD cut vinyl. We thought that that was just going to fly out our booth. We didn't sell one stinking roll of it in Texas. So we just didn't even bring it with to South Carolina because we just felt, okay, maybe this is just not the right market. And I will say in South Carolina, I didn't see that many booths selling vinyl. So maybe we would have done better. I don't know. But
I think with the advent of direct to film and some of those other technologies, that vinyl, it's never going to be a thing of the past, because there are definitely, you know, uses for it. But I don't think people are, you know, like, oh, I don't have to weed and I don't have to layer and I don't have to do all these things and I can do this. Let's do that, because I know that makes much more sense financially. And again, it comes down to pivoting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, and Caesar announced their printable vinyl too and all that stuff. Like, you're right. It's years ago. Like, I used to love the idea of vinyl. I've got the vinyl cutter, I've got the heat press, you know, and I'm like, oh, this is so awesome. I'm going to make all these things. And I did make some things, and I'm sure I will still use it some, but you don't realize, like, hold on, let me get that little bitty piece out. You know, you're weeding and then you like transfer it to the transfer tape and then something, I don't know. Maybe I'm just not so good at it.
We have a customer who went out and bought her own cutter and all that kind of stuff. And I'll share the story because I'm 99% sure she'll never see this, but she paid us to do the cutting despite having her own machine. She paid us to do the cutting, not the cutting and the weeding, because that's the part that would have made sense, the weeding part of it. She just paid us to do the cutting. And it was always kind of like, okay, this is like $300-$400 a month. It's just play around money, because there's really no sense in why she can't do this on her own cutter, but she's having us do it, which was fine. It kept our cutter moving. And, you know, you guys know as well as I do that as long as the machines are running, there's usually money being made. Mm-hmm. It's always kind of like it's your own paper, or not paper, your own money printer, money
printing press.
There we go.
We're getting there eventually.
Yeah.
This is a common experience at TVIV and TJ Stitch and Gracie McDoodle.
Yep.
Nope, I agree. As long as those machines are running, that's where it's at, you know, when that's they stop. News. Yeah.
Just remember that staff that's working today, machines running, we're making money. We're running any machines. No
machine we're getting all kinds of people in trouble today.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. Well, anyway, I'm so excited that you guys are going to be there. I'm excited that you're going to be teaching a class.
Two classes.
Both
are teaching classes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm
excited.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciated that because I really didn't want to talk about what I'm teaching. So it was fine. You went to her.
We'll have you on a live later talking about
that. You know what? I'm excited to teach too. There was an email that Norma had sent out right before South Carolina that made it sound like you were still looking for people to teach. And so I volunteered to do a half hour industry specific comedy show. And Norma was polite enough. I don't know if she was, I'm assuming she was telling the truth. She's like, oh no, we don't need any more instructors. And I was like,
Well, if it was right before the show, our vendor.
Yeah, no, I know. And I know she wasn't. I mean, she couldn't be mean to me because I was in the business of trying to get her a raise. So she had to be nice to me. But
I think if you want to do a comedy show, you know, we could make the mic at the demo in the middle of the.
Now you tell
sorry,
me that
I can't
else.
Think right now. I know in my head I'm like trade show floor, you're in the middle of it with the microphone and comedy hour, industry specific comedy hour. Or 30 minutes, excuse me.
It's sadly one of these things. I've done stand-up comedy twice. Mm-hmm. Twice and I killed it. And I say that affectionately because I really did do a good job. Mm-hmm. But they were both like improv. Like it was just like impromptu. Suddenly I'm getting up on stage and I'm going at it. And now I feel like I would put so much pressure on myself that I would stink. So I'm fine with doing just the class that I spoke of.
Maybe at the end of the class, you can share you can do a little joke or two at the end.
Yeah, there you
go. As a bonus.
How many people in the room think I stunk? Please raise your hand. No, I'm looking forward to teaching it too, just because it's a little bit out of my wheelhouse as far as compared to what Tanya's been doing the last few years and what I've been doing. I've not really been as involved in the business the last few years as
in our primary business.
Correct. Yeah. Well, TJ Stitch has been all me. Tanya's not done anything.
I'll sort thread a couple times. That's it.
Yeah.
No, I do the marketing.
Tanya does all the marketing and collateral material. I'm just joking.
Well, sometimes Zach does, but we have to keep an eye on him.
It's a team effort. Team
it
effort.
Is. Team effort.
Even so, no, I'm looking forward to it as well. I'm looking forward to the class. I think that I'm going to bring some things to the class that's going to be a little bit of a different view than probably the traditional view on how you go about obtaining your customers. And, you know, we all obviously right now in our industry, everything is all about, you know, Facebook and Etsy and TikToks and this and that. And mine are still going to incorporate some of that, but it's just going to be a little bit of a different twist on it. And so I'm looking forward to it. So I think it'll be a fun class.
Another thing that I noticed, it just happened in the last couple of days, is that because of COVID, a lot of relationships that were made in different classes or groups, like Todd Downing and Aaron Montgomery's thing, we've met a lot of people.
Yep.
And all of a sudden, and Nikki Adamquist, all of a sudden, you know, we're all going to be in the same place. So we've had the opportunity to meet some people in person. And then I know that in Louisiana, there's a bunch of us that are.
I told them that before we went on air that we have a number of people that we're all talking about it. Not a timeshare.
Airbnb.
Yeah.
Yes.
But to get together and meet the kind of offshoot people that we've heard about, but maybe not met. I know that in Myrtle Beach, we got to meet Aaron Montgomery in person. And it was just really nice because I walked into his class. He came up and gave me a great big hug. Like, you know, we have known each other forever. Yeah. And I was just disappointed that his wife, Kylene, couldn't have been there too. So.
Yes, she was there in Chattanooga. Mm-hmm. I don't know if she'll be coming with him to Lafayette. I don't know.
We'll try to snag her in
there. Yes, fingers crossed.
I do yoga with Kylene a couple of days a week, and we're starting to do some collaborative things. So I'm hoping that maybe I can convince her.
And yes, there's people watching this right now that are going, how the hell are you doing yoga when one of you is in Missouri and the other one's in Minnesota? But I can tell you for a fact, they do it every week, a couple days a week, because the dogs do not like it if she's doing it at home. They think she's wanting to play with them and they're not happy with it.
I don't do hers, but I've seen it. I do yoga at home and my dogs are the same. Well, I just have one dog, but he does not. He thinks it's playtime.
Right.
I get it.
Right. All of a sudden I'll be giggling and Kylie's like, which one?
I love it. Yep. It's all about those connections. And I hope she can make it. I'm excited. Aaron's going to be there. Nikki's going to be there. If anyone else wants to be there, you should be there.
Let us know. We'll get you there. And I think, I love that's like, everyone has like their group, their tribe, and then they come and it's like you get to meet all these offshoots of these people and it just makes it even bigger and better.
Right.
And so, getting to meet all these people and then you have new potential customers or just people you can collaborate and network with.
Like, or you, the networking word is the biggest one for me because you just then have people that, okay, now we've met, now I have extended the olive branch of getting to know you a little bit, you getting to know me. And when somebody says, well, gee, where can I get cotton blanks? Ta-da, Christina, you know, I can recommend that. And I can do so with the comfort of knowing that Christina is going to take that person and is going to treat them like she's treating me. Mm-hmm. And unless they become a jerk afterwards, like me sometimes, then you're not gonna. So I just think that the two big words for Tanya and I in business and daily life is networking and collaboration. Mm-hmm. And I realize that those two words are inherently tied to each other because they pretty much mean the same thing. But you know, we really got into the BNI networking groups here in our area. We definitely saw a lot of positives from it, not only just for personal growth, but also business. Mm-hmm. And that's some of that kind of stuff is what I'm hoping to hit on in my class
too. Yeah. And, I think a lot of people are going to find a bunch of value from that. And then they can take that information that they learn, ask questions in the booth, go. And that's also what I love about this show is you take the class. It's an hour class. Most of these classes are packed full of information. You can go sleep on it, come visit the booth the next day, ask questions. That person sitting next to you, y'all can talk about it. And then go home and shop with that person because you've, you know, you've learned, you've met them, you know them. Like you said, you now you have built a trust and hopefully it's a continued relationship over many, many years. Mm-hmm. So,
yep.
Okay. Well, I think, is there anything else you guys want to add? Go visit tjstitch.com. Yes. If you haven't already, please do check out their website. Check out the awesome thread. And then go to EEM shows, sign up to come to the vendor floor, and then as many classes as you can fit into your schedule, because you will not regret it. Jay and Tanya are going to be there. Lots of vendors are going to be there. Hope and I will be there. As you can tell, we like to have a lot of fun. So make sure you join us at EEM shows in Lafayette, Louisiana, March 3rd through the 5th. And we can't wait to see you there. So thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Follow us at Everything Embroidery Market on Facebook and Instagram for all of our latest updates. We will see you next week.